John chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading verse number 12. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 8. I'm going to begin in verse 12 and read down to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you in advance what we're going to preach on this morning so that you can be alert and watch for this little two-word title, if you'll let me say that. But I'm going to probably preach for several weeks on this subject, the I Ams in the Gospel of John. The I Ams in the Gospel of John. Let's look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, therefore, said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whether I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, that he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, Well, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be freed indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man who hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? For if I say the truth, why do ye not believe? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. and I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. And your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. If you note verse 58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you take this little phrase, help us to understand the significance of it. And then, Lord, may we in the coming weeks, as you would will, and allow us to, Lord, may we take some Sunday mornings and just lift up your precious Son. He is the I Am. And Lord, He's so much to us and for us, and we want to examine this. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being our Savior. Not just our Savior, but everything else that we need, Lord, is found in you. So I pray that we would embrace this, understand this, see this. How can a man live his life without Christ? How can a Christian spend so much of his time unaware of all of the things that you want to be in his life for him and to him? I pray, Lord, that you'd open wide our eyes. Help us to behold wondrous things this morning, Lord. May Jesus be exalted. We pray these things in his precious name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach this morning, and Lord willing, I think, if the Lord wills, next Sunday morning, and maybe the next Sunday morning, 3, maybe 4 Sundays, on the I Ams in the Gospel of John. The I Ams. Now, before we understand the depth of the I Ams, the significance of the I Ams, we have to take a look at why they are found so numerously in the Gospel of John, and what they really and truly mean. Jesus, think about this, over 50 times, I believe 55 to be exact, used that little phrase when he was conversing with men here on earth. This was not an accident. He used this little phrase to communicate, first subtly and then openly, that he was God the Son, that he was the triune God, the anointed one, the Messiah. Some people chose to believe that. We've seen this right in this portion of Scripture, but many chose not to believe it. Matter of fact, they were so adamant in their unbelief, they accused him of being demon-possessed, of having devils, of being a false prophet and a liar. They even accused him subtly in this portion of Scripture of being the product of fornication, of being illegitimate, if you'll let me say that. They leveled merciless accusations against Jesus Christ, but you know what? Jesus truly was the I Am. Now in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, you can take time later to look at it. There's 4 faces that we see of the cherubims that reflect, that live in the presence of God and reflect the power and grace of God. Most of you that have taken a New Testament survey type course sometime in your life, whether it was in high school here at the Christian school or some other place, understand that the 4 faces that are reflected by those that are constantly in the presence of God, they speak to us of the 4 Gospels and the four ways that Jesus is portrayed in each of the separate Gospels. These 4 faces found in Ezekiel chapter 1 is the face of a lion and the face of an ox and the face of a man and the face of the eagle. Let me just lay this groundwork for you. Stay with me a couple of minutes here on purpose. But the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through inspiration, God allowed us to see the life of Christ, but to see it differently. The emphasis placed differently by each of the writers. Matthew portrayed Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews. This was the Lion, the King of the Jews. And he's portrayed in Matthew as the Promised One, the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And Matthew's the one that references the Old Testament prophecies, that's working so hard to convince the Jews that this truly is the Messiah. This is your King. In Mark, we see the ox, if you'll let me say that, because the ox was a beast of burden. He was a servant beast. And Mark portrays Jesus Christ as the one sent from heaven to be the servant to mankind, to serve us, who humbled himself for us. Luke portrays Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, and John portrays Jesus Christ as the Son of God, thus the face of the man and the face of the eagle. Now that's why we get to the Gospel of John and we see so many references to Jesus Christ and so many references to the deity of Jesus Christ. Because John was chosen, who, by the way, was closest to Christ, who was the one that leaned upon his breast. Of all of even the inner circle, John was closest. And I believe John saw the most clearly that Jesus Christ was God. That he was God in the flesh. And John writes and emphasizes the eagle aspect, the deity aspect. And because of that, he chronicles for us the use of the word I am. Can we do a little Bible study on a Sunday morning? Let's go back to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. When Jesus spoke the word, I am, to the Pharisees and to the Jews, this had great significance. In Exodus chapter number 3, we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. And this is the story of God appearing to Moses in the burning bush. Let's introduce this story by just begin reading in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he saith, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now here in this portion of Scripture, God tells Moses that he's going to send him to Pharaoh, and he's going to send him to deliver the children of Israel. Now if you will, get down to verse number 13. Let's look at that. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Remember, this was the children of Israel that he was going to give this answer to. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And of course, every Israelite, they grew up on this story. They identified Jehovah God, the Almighty God. What this verse is saying in verse 14, that word God there is Elohim. And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. So the Almighty God said, when you go to the children of Israel and you want to identify who sent you, you use this phrase. You tell him the I am sent you. Now folks, that's interesting. Let's take a minute and let's rejoice in this. Let's let this tell us a little bit about our God. What is meant in Exodus chapter 3? Why did God tell Moses to tell the Israelites, I am that I am. I am hath sent you. Elohim said unto Moses, and it's He said unto Moses, I am that I am sent you. Now, why did he use that phrase, I am? Let's look at God a little bit here. Let's see if we can comprehend this with our finite minds. Let's see if we can comprehend some things about an infinite God. Folks, listen to me. What he was saying, first of all, is that I am the God without beginning. That word I am speaks of no beginning and no ending. The God without beginning has come to you. The God without beginning has sent you. When they ask who sent you, you tell them that the God with no beginning sent you. Now that's going to play into significance. Because when we get over into the book of John, when Jesus took and reached back to Exodus chapter 3 and used the term I am to identify himself to the Israelites, you know what he was saying to them? I also am the God without beginning. I am the God without beginning. Now Pharaoh had gods, and all of them had a birth or a creation or a time where they came into existence. But when Moses showed up representing the I am, he was saying, I represent the God who's never had a beginning, who was never created. You see, folks, we can sing happy birthday to everybody, and we try to on Sunday mornings during our Sunday school hour, but you'll never sing happy birthday to God because He didn't have a birthday. I mean, He's always been. You say, Brother Jerry, I'm trying to go back that far. I'm trying to comprehend something or someone without a beginning. And you know what? Our finite minds soon run out of energy. You know why? Because His ways are so far above our ways and His thoughts above our thoughts. How can we, with our infinite minds, comprehend God? He was saying, I'm the God without beginning. Then he says this, the word I am talks about the God that self-exists. So not only do I not have any beginning, but you know what? I now presently am. I am now. And you know what? There's nothing needed to prop me up. Now again, Pharaoh would have had his gods, and all of those gods would have had some outward source of power. They were all linked to something that they needed. Sometimes it was human sacrifice. Sometimes it was adoration. But they needed something to empower them. But you know what? The God of Israel simply existed, self-existed. He didn't need to be plugged in, recharged. He never ran down, ran short, or ran out. He said, I never had a beginning, and you know what? I self-exist right now in the present. I was the I am a zillion years ago. And I was the I am yesterday, and I'm the I am today. And then that speaks also, of course, of the fact that He's a God without ending. He says, I will be the I am tomorrow, and I'm going to be the I am a week from now, and a year from now, and 100 years from now, and 1,000 years from now, and 1,000,000 years from now, and long after this earth is gone and over with, God will still exist as He's always existed. Now are you understanding the significance? Here Jesus walks the earth. Some believe that He's the Messiah. Many don't. And when He begins to say the phrase, I am, oh, I think 55 times in the book of John, He kind of pokes the Pharisees in the face with this little phrase, the unbelievers, sometimes subtly, sometimes blatantly, letting them know that I am God. I am God. So Jesus was saying what God said. You know why? Because Jesus is God. God said back in Exodus chapter 3, I'm without beginning. Jesus says over 55 times in the book of John, over 50 times in the book of John, I am the God without beginning. Jehovah says in Exodus 3, I self-exist. And Jesus said to the Pharisees over 50 times, I self-exist. God said back to Moses in Exodus 3, I'm without ending. And you know what Jesus said to these men that followed Him about trying to find something wrong about Him, something they can accuse Him of? He said, I am the God without ending. This also talks about God being the God who transcends place and transcends time. See, folks, there's no way for us to really understand this, but I'm glad of it. See, God is here, but God's not just here, God's everywhere. Amen to that. Aren't you glad, Sister April, that God's in Iraq today? Aren't some of you glad that God's in the hospitals today? Aren't you glad that God's in Florida today? Aren't you glad the climes that God's in California today. Amen. Some of you got kids out in college. Hey, God's in Ghana today, Brother Hall. You know what? Everything's going to be fine. God's there. I mean, wherever, you name it, God exists. God's there. And He is not controlled or limited by places or by time. He is the God whose existence controls all else that exists. This word in the Old Testament means the essence of breath, the essence of life. So not only does God have no beginning and He self-exists and He's without ending, He transcends time and place. There's nothing that exists here on earth that does not exist simply because He allows it to exist. I mean, folks, if God took His hand off this world, we'd explode into a zillion particles. Everything is held together by God. By Him, all things consist. So when Jesus... Listen, what I want to do this morning is help you. I want Jesus to become precious to you. I want you to understand who He was and what He did. I want you to know that He was God. John chapter number 8. Let's go there real quickly. John chapter number 8. Let's take a look at some things. You say, Brother Jerry, when Jesus said, "I am," what was He saying? Number one, He was saying, this may be as far as we get this morning, He was saying, "I am God." He's saying, "I am God." John chapter 8, are you there? Put your finger there a minute. Now flip back to John chapter 1. I'll get you to go to two places at one time. John chapter number 8, and then we'll look at John chapter number 1. Now, when Matthew wrote about Jesus, he started with His birth. When Luke wrote about Jesus, he started with his birth. When Mark wrote about Jesus, he started with Christ's ministry. Remember? The servant. But when John talks about Jesus, he goes way past His birth. He goes way past Genesis 1:1. Did you notice that this book starts with the same three words that Genesis starts with, "in the beginning"? But let me say this, he's not starting where Genesis starts. He goes way back before Genesis. "In the beginning was the Word." And this is speaking about Jesus, the Word. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And John starts out by establishing that Jesus pre-existed Bethlehem's manger. Jesus pre-existed the creation of the world. He pre-existed Genesis account. He was the God. He was the Son of God, but also God the Son. He was the Creator of the universe. He's part of the triune God. Verse number 3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So the first 5 verses, John says, let me establish something. What I'm going to write about, who I'm going to write about, is the I Am. He's the one that goes all the way back to the beginning, and He'll still be here at the end of the end of the end of the end. He'll still be going strong. And so he establishes right away the deity of Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. This needs to be preached. I mean this. This needs to be something we settle in our hearts. There's a lot of false teachings going around. There's a lot of false cults going around. There's those that want to say Jesus was just another created being. He was just an exalted angel, that He had a beginning. There's those that say He began it at the manger and He ended on the cross, and there was nothing before, nothing after. But my Bible teaches me that Jesus was God. He was a member of the triune God. Say, Brother Jerry, explain the Trinity to me. I can't explain it to you. Now, I thought God was one. He is. But He's also three. He is. Well, you say that can't be. Well, it can't be in our finite little mind, but it can be in God's greatness and power. God can be whatever and whoever He says He is. There is one God and this is the best I can do, there's one God that sees fit to display Himself in three distinct personalities to us. And that's as much as He's given us to understand that by. One man said it's like a rope that if you were to take it apart, it has three strands. It's one rope, but there's three parts. One man tried to do the best he could and said, it's like water. You know, water can be liquid, ice, or steam, but it's all water. And I don't think any of those things do justice. All I know is this, that God announces that there is one God, but there is in that one God three distinct personalities, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, pre-existed with the Father as a part of the Godhead. He was the voice that said to the world, come into existence. And it came into existence. Let there be, and there was. That was the voice of Jesus Christ. He was involved in creation, and He pre-existed the Father. Now, these I Ams, oh, by the way, let me just say this. I hope you're getting to the point where you understand the benefit of getting to know somebody like this. We're going to get down eventually where the rubber meets the road, but if you've never let your life be touched by somebody like this, now might be a good day to let him in. If you've never let this I Am save your soul, now would be a good time to get saved. If you're a Christian and you never let this I Am transform your life, that would be a good time to realize who He is and how much He wants to be to you and for you and how involved He wants to be in every aspect of your life. He's going to say over and over to us, I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that. He's going to list all of the things in the next few weeks, and if His coming tarries, maybe we'll get a chance to look at all of them. But I'm telling you, He wants to be all and everything for you. And for me, He says, first of all, let me establish something. I am God. John chapter number 8. Let's go there now. John chapter number 8. Let's, if you will, we read this, but I want you to just mark maybe a few things. Let's mark the I Ams in John chapter 8. In verse number 12, you'll find, I am the light of the world. I'd underline that little two phrase, I am. Verse number 16, He says, I am not alone. Verse 18, I am one that beareth witness. He said, Brother Jerry, this is just a phrase. Trust me, He's communicating something to the Pharisees. He's poking something at him, and it's irritating them. Did you read this, how much they were irritated and how they kept getting him to just say it? Come on, say it! You know what? They wanted Him to say that He was God so they could point a finger and accuse Him of blasphemy. But when Jesus claimed to be God, He was not being blasphemous. He was being truthful. Because He was God. You know what? He was toying with them a little here. He does it all through the book of John. He keeps throwing that little phrase out there. That little phrase in the Greek is, I me, I me. That's the word, I me. He kept saying that again and again, I me, I me. That's the little phrase for I am. And you know what that means? That I me, it means I exist. So every time you're seeing this, what He's saying is, I exist. I exist. You know what they knew, understood that? What that meant? They understood that's what God, how God said to introduce Himself to the children of Israel way back when Moses came in and they said, who sent you? The one that exists sent me. So every time you see this, Jesus is saying that to them. Look in verse number 23. I am. I me from above. I me. That's the phrase there. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Now, I love this. Look at verse 24. I said, and therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I me, I exist, I'm God. I'm the Jehovah God that met Moses in the burning bush. Now, I'm going to tell you what, they were getting... That's why in verse 25, right after that, they said, then said they unto him, who art thou? Who art thou? Stop playing with us. Say it if that's what you're meaning. Stop using word tricks with who are you? See, why is he playing with them? Because they didn't know what he wanted to know who he was so that they could fall down and worship him or believe in him or follow him. Confess their sins and repent to him. They wanted him to say it so they could accuse him. And he'll give them opportunity here in a little while. Look at verse number 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. I am. You'll notice the little word he that follows that is italicized. That's fine, and it belongs there. But the phrase is, I me. I am. I exist. I exist. Verse 28, then said Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I exist, that I am that I am, that I'm God. You're going to see the God part of me after you lift me up. Because the God part of me is going to move that stone. The God part of me is going to walk out of that tomb. The God part of me is going to walk around for 40 days in a resurrected body. That God part of me is going to ascend to heaven after giving the Great Commission. By the way, that's my Savior. That's who I worship. That's my Lord. You can have Buddha if you want him. He's still in a grave somewhere. I want to follow this God-man. I'm going to put my faith in the one that never had a beginning and never will have an ending. Amen. Now, if you will, go over all the way now to verse number 58. Boy, this is where it comes to it. This is why they took up stones, by the way, folks. Because it says in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I need, I exist, I am. And boys, you know what? He'd been playing with him and playing with him and playing with him. Finally, he said it. He used the phrase. He said, you know what? What I'm telling you is that I'm the one that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And they understood that because it says in verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I existed before Abraham. I existed before Adam. I existed before Moses. I existed before the creation of the world. I am the Creator. I'm the one without beginning. I'm the one that self-exists. I'm the one without ending. I'm the one who transcends time and place. I am the God whose existence controls all else that exists. I am. That's what he was saying there. Now let's go over to John chapter 13. And I'm just getting warmed up. This is good stuff. If you're not getting blessed, I'm getting blessed enough for both of us. It's all right. John chapter 13, folks. Listen, it's about time we fell on our face and started worshiping a Savior who's worth worshiping. You know what? It's about time we started as Christians, stop just flippantly using the name of Jesus and understand why He deserves to be King, why He deserves to be Lord, why He deserves to be Master of our life. It's about time we took a scroll to the book of John. So if y'all come back, we're going to do that. And we're going to see that Jesus said, listen, I am all of these things and I want to be all these things for you. For you. He says, I want to be all these things. John chapter, what did I say? Chapter 13. Let's look at verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And notice these titles. They recognize Jesus as the Master. That means a great teacher. They recognize him even as Lord, as their leader. But notice this, and you see, say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have not given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the Scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Talk about Judas here. Now I tell you before it come. Now notice this. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I exist. By the way, say, Brother Jared, I thought the disciples understood that Jesus was God at this time. I'm not sure when each individual all comprehended everything, but I know this, even after the resurrection, there was a lot of doubting going on. But Jesus was basically even saying to his inner group, you know what? You respect me as a teacher and you follow me as a master and as a leader. But some of you haven't still understood that I exist. That I'm the same Jehovah God that spoke out of the burning bush. But you know what? After I raise from the dead, you're going to remember that. You're going to know that. I'm going to prove it to you. You're going to see that I'm God. And then all of these things that he's taught through the book of John is going to come back to them, and they're going to understand that in Jesus Christ was everything that they needed. Over 50 times in the book of John, he proclaims that, he says that, he announces that, he pokes the unbelieving Pharisees in the eye with it. He's saying, I'm God, and there's some that accept it and embrace it and believe, and there's others that doubt, and there's some that accuse him of blasphemy, but it changes nothing. Jesus was God the Son, the Word that existed from the beginning, the God without beginning, the one that self-existed, the one without ending, the one who transcends time and place, the one whose existence controls all else that exists. Jesus was the I Am and still is the I Am and will always be the I Am. Now we're going to go to John chapter number 18. Let's go there. This is all covering just one point. The I Ams in the Gospel of John, what do they teach us? They teach us, number one, that Jesus was saying, I am God. I am God. Nail this down, young people. I am God. He's just not the Son of God. He's God the Son. That's very important if you understand that. John chapter number 18. Boy, I like this. John chapter number 18. Let's look in verse number 1. That when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Oh, I wish Judas would have understood who he was. I wish Judas would have understood that he's the God without beginning, the God without ending, the self-existent one. I wish Judas would have understood that this was not just somebody to trade for 30 pieces of silver. This is a God that transcends time and place. This is a God that controlled eternity. This is a God whose very existence of this earth was controlled by His power. But he didn't get that. Verse 3, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am, I me, I exist. He said the same thing that he said when he spoke out of the burning bush. Notice this. I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Woo! You know what? This time he decided to put an exclamation mark after the I am. This time he decided to let the disciples and those soldiers and Judas see that what he was saying he was, he wasn't kidding. He was going to give a little evidence of this. Now it's not going to be full evidence. Even in this there's restraint. Remember, I am controls the angels of heaven. The self-existent one controls the very particles that's holding together the bodies of those that are sent to arrest him that day. He just decided to show a little bit of his power. I mean, if he'd unleashed all of the I Am power, let me tell you something, everybody would have been obliterated. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, this earth would have ceased to exist. It would have been stormed by legions of angels, and they would have taken their king back to heaven. But you know what he said? I'm just going to give you a little peek into the fact that I haven't been lying to you. Now, I'm going to give you full evidence here when you get done hanging me on that cross, because it has to be done. I love mankind. I want to redeem mankind. Without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption. I'm going to let you put me on that cross. But I want to show you that I don't have to let you. I'm going to let you kill this body, but I'm going to tell you, there's somebody in this body that you don't even understand. You don't know who's... Listen, Jesus said, I'm just going to show you a little bit of the I Am. So he asked the question, who are you looking for? Who are you seeking? And when they said, Jesus of Nazareth, notice this, Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Messiah, not Jesus the Anointed One, not Jesus the Son of God or Jesus God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, they said, we're seeking the man Jesus. And you know what he did? He answered, but he also corrected them. He said the Greek word, I need, I exist. And the minute he said that, they were hurled backwards onto their back. They fell and was knocked backwards to the ground just because of those two words. These are the two words that came out of the burning bush. And I could see him, man, I don't know about you, but son, if I'm a soldier at this point, brother, I know you're supposed to do your duty. And I guess I admire him for that part of it as far as the soldiery aspect, but I think I'd be scratching my head a little bit. I think I'd be reconsidering my calling about this time. I mean, when a man just says, I exist, and an entire band of soldiers and the betrayer that led them is thrown violently to the ground. They get up and begin to dust themselves off and look at each other. And then what's so funny about this story, I think, says as soon as then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? Now, I'm thinking at this point, I don't know if I want to answer. I mean, if that was the first answer, what's the second one going to be like, you know? And they said, isn't this sad? Isn't this sad? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And they learned nothing. They learned nothing. They learned nothing. Yet God has left us a book that chronicles, that gives evidence, that goes all the way back past Genesis, past the world, and tells us exactly who Jesus is, and we proclaim it from our pulpits, and we go door to door, and we get the message out on radio and on TV and every way we can of who Jesus is, and the world still considers Him Jesus of Nazareth. They don't understand. He's the God. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. Listen, He is the one that's without beginning. He's the one that self-exists. He's the one without ending. He's the one that transcends place and time. He controls the existence of all else that exists. Now let me tell you who He is and what He did. Being all of that and having all of that power, He submitted Himself to arrest. He allowed Himself to be falsely accused and falsely convicted. He allowed Himself to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. He allowed Himself to be mocked. I mean, they stripped Him naked, folks. They put a robe, like a kingly robe on Him, and then they took a crown of thorns and put it on His head and beat Him on the head with that and drove those crowns and then knelt down in front of Him and mocked Him as the King of the Jews. Mocked Him as some king. You realize that this is the I Am? This is the One that showed up with Moses in Egypt and unleashed 10 of the most ferocious plagues and broke Pharaoh's back and destroyed his life and destroyed his army. That's the I Am that they're doing this to. And you know what? He let them! He let them do it. You know why? Because he had Jerry Ross in mind. He had Jerry Ross in mind. He had you in mind. He knew that we'd be born one of these days just a bunch of lost sinners and no hope of heaven and somebody that without sin had to die for the sinful. Somebody that was righteous had to be willing to live a righteous, perfect life and allow themselves to be killed anyway so that they could pay for the punishment. Pay the punishment of all eternity for my sins and for your sins. He did that. He did that. And He said to John, who the inspired, another member of the Godhead, said to John, now I want you to write about the I Am, and I want you to put this phrase in there over and over and over again so that when people get saved, they'll understand who Jesus is. They'll understand what He wants to be in their life. They'll understand what He did for them. Folks, listen to me. My greatest desire in my life is to be all that I can be for the One who did all of this for me. What is it that He could ask that I should hold back from Him? He said, go ahead. Go ahead. Beat me. Mock me. Put the robe. Put the crown of thorns. Spit in my face. Blindfold me. Buffet me. Prod me up the hill. Nail me to the cross. And with every second that went by, at any given moment, I Am just had to speak and it would have ended. But He did it for us. But you know what? Let me just say this. You can't kill the self-existing One. You can't kill the One that has no beginning and will never have an ending. I mean, he allowed them to take the life of the body that he dwelled in. But let me tell you something, you can't kill God. Can't kill God. I love this. Go back to Pilate. Hey, you know what? He claimed to be God. There was a lot of I ams in his ministry. So I think what we ought to do is get some soldiers and let's guard that tomb. Amen. Now, listen to this. The testimony of the soldiers was this, that while they were on watch at about the dawning of the day, there was a bright light, and they became as dead men. You know what? Because a little more I am came out. He didn't kill them. Boy, he got a merciful God. He didn't kill them, but boy, you know what? He knocked them for a loop. And they woke up a little bit later on and brushed themselves off. Probably ran over to the tomb and saw it was empty. And you know what? They went back to tell the story that he had rose from the dead, and instead somebody put money in their hands and said, "We need you to lie about it." So they took the money and they lied. And a lie. Aren't men wicked? What if these are some of the same soldiers that tried to arrest him in the garden? By now, if the light's not coming on, who you're dealing with? This is God. Yeah, try to kill him, but you can't. And you know what? Long after your life's over, he exists. And he's all powerful. And he's going to stand as judge of the universe. I think it's time, soldier, to fall on your knees and accept him. Follow the example of the centurion. Realize he was who he said he was. And he still is today. Young man, young lady, what I've done today is try to, very feeble attempt, to get you to understand who Jesus is. And you know what he offers you today? As the powerful God, he offers forgiveness. He offers a new life. He offers the chance to have your slate wiped clean and every sin forgiven, placed under his blood. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I'll separate your sin from you. I'll bury it in the deepest sea. I'll remember them no more. He's offering you eternal life. He says, I'm going to exist forever. And by the way, I want you with me existing forever. He's offering us, 1 Corinthians, like it or not, this is not blasphemous, 1 Corinthians 15, he's offering you immortality. He's offering you a new body and a mansion and fellowship with the Father and to be able to stand before a holy God dressed in the righteousness of the I Am who paid for your sins forever. He's offering you all of those things. And not only that, until you die, until you experience all those things, he's also telling you, while you're here, I will also be the I Am the bread. And I will also be to you, I Am the light. And I'll also be to you, I Am the door. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the good shepherd. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the resurrection. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the way. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the truth. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the life. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the master. And I'll also be unto you, I Am the Lord. I'll also be unto you, I Am the true vine. And that's just what he'll be while we're still traversing this earth. And one day he'll take us up to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if you've never been saved, you ought to be saved. Jesus loved you. He loves you. And he wants to save you. And by the way, Christian, if he has saved you, I think probably you feel like I do, he's probably a little more deserving of what we could give him that we've been holding back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being all of these things even now to us, for being God and for doing what you did as the great I Am. Well, I pray that you take the message and just speak to hearts this morning. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, and I don't embarrass people through the invitation. We don't come get people, we don't embarrass them, we don't call them by name, but I do want to pray for you. Has there ever been a time in your life when you've received Jesus Christ as God the Son who paid for the sins of the world? Have you ever received Him as your Savior? Can you look back at a time when you truly were convicted of your lost state, understood the gospel, felt the wooing of the Father, and knew that God wanted to save you and accepted that opportunity to be saved? If not, if you are experiencing those things this morning, God has thrown the door wide open and given you an opportunity to be saved today. Don't take that lightly. He's done much, and He did much, and He continues to do much to make this available to us. How many would say, with our heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, we would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart this morning, and I know I need to be saved. Just pray for me." Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? "I'm not saved, but God's speaking to my heart this morning, and I know I need to be saved." Anybody at all so I can pray for you? Just slip your hand up real quick, and I'll be glad to pray for you. Anyone at all? Christians, how many of you are like me? Your heart's been stirred this morning. Jesus has done so much. He is so much. I want to be more for Him. Would you slip your hand down all over the auditorium? Let's let God do something in our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for meeting with us, for being all that You are. And Lord, right now, being willing to be all that we need, whatever that is. Bless the invitation.